That's Charles Nungesser, the French flying ace. He's the best we've got.
He looks like a walking accident. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Indiana Jones Universe, a podcast in which we learn more about the character of Indiana Jones, exploring other content in the Indiana Jones Universe. As always, I'm Will.
And I'm Max.
And thanks for joining us for episode 35, in which today we're doing another film score review, this time on Attack of the Hawkmen from Young Indiana Jones, composed by Joel McNeely. This is a fully unreleased score, but 20 minutes of music is actually used in various video games across the Indiana Jones franchise. So today we're going to talk about the instrumentation, the musical techniques, tones and styles, and why we like this music so much, and how it fits in with some of the events in the episode. So without further ado, let's jump into this one and give kind of like a basic summary of the score we're looking at today.
Yes, so we are looking at Attack of the Hawkmen, which is composed by Joel McNeely, and it is composed of 22 minutes of all unreleased music from the Lego Indiana Jones game, the Staff of Kings video game, and the DVD box sets special delivery game. So we have a very wide selection for you today, and you will also hear there are some tracks that are reused from Demons of Deception, and we also have some traditional pieces such as Gary Owen and the young aviator Lay Dying that are used throughout the episode as well.
Yeah, so this is a really awesome score that is definitely a popular one for sure. I feel like we say that for all these scores by this point. But this is definitely one of the more popular ones because the music is used throughout the Indiana Jones franchise. So if you've played some of the games, you've likely heard some of this music already. And like you said, there are some reuses of music specifically from Verdun 1916. Remembering Verdun is reused when Indy looks at all of the photos on the wall right when he gets to the Lafayette Escadrille. There's also I Speak German, which is one of those unreleased tracks that we talked about from Lego Indy that is also reused when Baron talks about repainting his biplane. And then the last one that's used is actually kind of interesting. It's hard to pick out, but the song Arrival in Paris from the Volume 1 OST, there is a very faint accordion version of it right when Indy is introduced to Harold Green and Hobie Baker, about 12 minutes in or so. Kind of cool there as well. And then, of course, the traditional pieces, Gary Owen, the young aviator Lay Dying, as well as the Minstrel Boy, which was also reused from Love Sweet Song as well. So a huge kind of array of music. And one more thing to mention as well. We talked about this in Oganga, but unfortunately, in order to fit all of these music files on the special delivery DVD game, some of the tracks had to be compressed down from their original form, and the audio quality is not necessarily pristine. So again, that's not a problem on your end or our end if you're new to the music. Unfortunately, that's how the tracks sound. So apologies in advance, but we also have some really great pristine quality tracks that we will also talk about. So without further ado, let's jump into our first track here, This Will Never Work.
Yes, and I personally love this track, actually. I love all the tracks from this episode. This has got to be one of my favorite episodes, especially for music, mainly because I love all the music from Lego Indiana Jones, and this is a big, if you're really into the Lego Indiana Jones music, this is going to be a great episode for you to listen to the music to. But here we start off, and it's very, very interesting. This is when Remy is doubting Indy's forged transfer papers to the French intelligence.
Yeah, so this is the kind of one of the first actually pieces of music that plays in the entire show, and it starts off with this very interesting trumpet theme and oboe. And actually, speaking of the opening of this, the first 16 seconds of this track, I think, went unused in the series, because if you actually look at the whole file itself, when the song actually starts in the episode, the first 16 minutes are, at least from my knowledge, nowhere to be found in the episode. So I think that was an example of what's actually kind of cool in the end, of the full orchestral score, but then kind of an example of how the music was edited down for just, I guess, time purposes or whatever. So kind of cool there. So we'll actually start the track when we play the sample for you, where it actually starts in the episode. But you can listen to that first 16 seconds, which I don't think ever is used. And speaking of the track, this starts out with this very, like, ominous tone. You have, of course, Indy showing Remy has the transfer papers, and he doubts it, of course, and really kind of a cool feeling and an awesome sound that is definitely different from a lot of the other tracks we're going to hear today.
Yes, now you're right, it does, it's very ominous, and it is different from a lot of the tracks. Like, a lot of the tracks in this episode are very action-packed, and this one is kind of more scary and very a sad kind of tone, because, you know, Indy is, he's looking out of the window, and, you know, and then he's talking to Remy about how they want to switch to the French intelligence. So it's a very, very interesting track, especially, you know, just what all the different instruments they use. Like, they use the woodwinds here with the low brass and the strings mixed in there, really gives it a great kind of, you know, feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's listen to the first part of This Will Never Work from the Special Delivery DVD game.
And moving into our next section here, we start off with a sad tone again, just kind of a continuation of our previous section here. But here we actually have a mix of piano with the strings, brass, the violins, almost sounds like a piece from Mozart. And really, you can, in just hearing this part of the track, you can really envision the Paris skyline. And just, it's so beautiful. Because, and this is also when Indy is talking about Albert Schweitzer, kind of what happened in the previous episode. And that kind of, you know, maybe is a little bit of, a hint as to that, you know, George Lucas was considering the re-edits even when this episode was still being filmed.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I love that. I think the music, like especially this part of the section that we're going to hear now, does, I think, really well describe that dialogue when Indy is talking about Albert Schweitzer. I think you're absolutely right. We have that amazing violin theme there that is that low and deep, rich sound that I really personally love. And it does sound like a classical concerto. I mean, when you break down some of Joel McNeely's score and Lawrence Rosenthal's as well, you really are looking at complex TV scores. And this is something I learned the other day, actually. For most TV scores, by the way, you never really get a full orchestra to score with. And actually, for young Indy, most of the time they had a 55-piece, which is very generous for TV. I mean, and you can hear that in these tracks, how they really went above and beyond to get that full orchestra sound, that John Williams style. I mean, this is just, again, going with that idea that, I mean, these are some complex scores. And also consider Joel McNeely was kind of at the start of his career here, and to me really did a great job with this. And I love the different style than all the other tracks, this opening one, and the woodwinds go up the scale like you were mentioning earlier there, that full sound that I think represents the scene so well. So let's listen to the next part of This Will Never Work.
Moving into our next song, Photographic Session, which is right when Charles arrives, is a beautiful track with this big brass intro that we start off with, kind of a march theme almost, with big brass and a happy tone. And, you know, we kind of fade into some strings here, which really is, again, very different from our last track, which had a lot of woodwinds and a very dark tone. Here it's more of a happy, upbeat tone. Mainly because Charles is a happy and upbeat person.
Yeah, absolutely. We get into what I like to call the Charles theme, which I think is basically this entire track here. This is also from the Special Delivery DVD game, Photographic Session, and we get this introduction kind of to the biplanes. And I like how this opening brass theme here that you were talking about kind of to me represents like almost Indy waking up to have his first assignment. You know what I mean? Like it kind of is, I think, a great intro to that. We see all these great biplanes, this low tuba theme with this awesome percussion as the biplane swoops in and we hear this magnificent Charles theme, which is what I like to call it, with the violins and the trumpets. This is another score, speaking of that, I feel like that does such a good job of taking the traditional melodic approach of a film score. We looked at Oganga last week, which is a great score and definitely has a melodic approach. But some of the tracks that we looked at, specifically more of those unreleased ones, were more kind of subtle ambient tracks that were just kind of in the background. Here, almost every track that we're going to hear today, I think, does a great job of giving us that traditional melodic approach to a film score, right? There's those themes that you recognize from this score, which I think is very evident here. I mean, this happy, exciting theme that Charles arrives kind of represents the victory, I guess, that we see later in the episode.
Definitely. I mean, you know, as you were saying, this is definitely a different tone, and this is the Charles theme. It does reoccur many times throughout the episode. Whenever you really see Charles, this reoccurs at the end of the episode when Indy comes back after he's completed his mission with to see Charles again, as they fly off into the sunset, which is a great thing. And another thing I like is that here at the end of this section, it's almost a fanfare. As you said, it's the Charles theme. It's just a fanfare. And you'll hear that as we listen to our first section of Photographic Session.
Coming off of that great fanfare, let's move into the next section here of the piece, in which we have arguably, one could say, is the most well-known motif of the entire episode, which is we start off with these low violins and violas into this literally perfect combo of melodies. I just want to kind of break this down for a second. We move into this lighthearted Charles theme as you have the violins with the flutes, with these staccato cellos and basses. Commenting on that, I mean, structurally, almost every single instrument in the orchestra is so well used here, and what McNeely has done is perfectly combined, and just the syncopation of every single instrument and section is so well done here, because when you listen to this, it sounds like one, like, big combination of notes, you know what I mean? Like, you have that very, like, triumphal and staccato and a full feel when you listen to this, right? And it's this great jolly theme of Charles, and I love it so much. It's fantastic, this gradual increase of the brass and violin theme. And it's almost kind of like an alternate Charles theme because it's a little bit different from the one we just heard, but also kind of similar in that respect. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. It is almost what we just heard, but it's very different alternate thing with those upbeat percussion and the strings. What you said describes this track perfectly.
Yeah, I love it so much. You know, like, you think of Charles when you listen to this, right? Tell me about it on the moonlit ride home. Throws the crutch, hops in the plane. And speaking of, this actually is used in that scene. The full throttle, no brake scene is probably where you remember this piece from so much. So let's listen to kind of the main motif of Photographic Session.
I love that track so much. It has got to be almost one of my favorite tracks, if not one of my favorite tracks from this episode out of the three that I have, which you will see later. And that transitions perfectly into our third track here, Indy's First Dogfight, which really is a big departure from that upbeat. This is also upbeat, but it's also very, very suspenseful. It starts with a big trumpet, which you will hear lots of times throughout this episode and many of the tracks, and some very hard violin parts, and then the brass have a kind of a minor scale, which is really symbolizing the fight that is happening here.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you just said, basically. I mean, great kind of interpretation of this track here. You start off with, by the way, this is from the Lego Indiana Jones video game. This is that 1 minute section right when Indy goes up and flies for the first time, right before he has to dive out of the plane and check the wheels. And again, you start off with this scary action theme, kind of. And what I like about this is such a unique sound. We talked about in the Phantom Train of Doom a lot how Joel McNeely likes to replicate John Williams. Here, this is in the style of John Williams, but original enough that I like it personally. I think this is, you know, Phantom Train of Doom, some people argue, was a little bit too close to John Williams. Here, I think he really kind of did a great job at getting that originality to it. And one of the things I love about this track is the weird kind of middle sections here with these violin crescendos into this legato section. You have these very march, triumphant, staccato notes throughout the entire thing, and then you transition into these long sort of violin patterns that you hear. You hear that twice throughout the section, and the violins and the trumpets, and oh, that great fanfare at the end as well. They go up the scale, and yes, you're exactly right. There are some very tricky violin parts. I don't play the violin, but I play the cello, so I guess I can't speak for violins, but I will say that this is very, very difficult to do. There's lots of arpeggios and high scales back there, and I mean, this is a very complex piece that has such a unique and awesome sound.
Definitely. I completely agree. It is so unique. And that John Williams style just really adds to, you know, the authenticity of this being an indie track. So this is Indy's First Dogfight.
Next track, we're going to look at Captured, also from Lego Indiana Jones, and this title is actually confirmed by a catalog number, which is kind of interesting, and this actually is comprised of two game files from Lego Indy, and we start off with this awesome trumpet theme and probably another unique track, kind of like This Will Never Work, as we have this ominous low theme with these kind of shrilling violins right as Manfred von Richthofen enters. And this is when actually Harold Green and Indy are both captured. And the dialogue to me, in my mind, works so well with this scene as you have this ambient feel. And personally, I really like the subtlety of this theme. It's not anything super complex. I mean, it's basically just a simple sequence of notes here, and you have what I believe is just such a really well done theme, especially like the character of the Red Baron and his sort of personality fits well, I think, with this track. Super cool.
Definitely, I agree. Just that low, the low brass and, you know, the trembling strings throughout it, and the we also have a trombone thrown in there when we've mainly heard trumpets up to until then, which really gives it that very suspenseful and kind of, you know, shows the what the Red Baron is all about. You know, he's all about, I'm very rigid, you know, I caught them, they're my prisoners, all that. That's really what it signifies.
Absolutely, and I also love that cool flute part at the end, and very unique. It's not a character theme, but it is something a little bit similar to that in the sense that I think it goes well with the scene with Manfred von Richthofen. So let's listen to Captured.
Moving on into Hoping to the Rescue, this is from the Staff of Kings video game, and this is when Hobie tries to rescue Indy after Indy has been captured by the Red Baron, right? So it starts with a big brass low trombone and kind of transitioning into a trumpet that we've heard, and it's very fast-paced, which really is, you know, signifying an action track.
Yeah, we have this upbeat style, which is awesome. I also love the cool eighth note rhythm. The violins are kind of the steady pulse of this track here. It anchors the piece really well. The trumpet theme, we got some tubas back there as well. Very simple motif. There's literally, like, if you listen to this, there's like really three sections. You have the percussion and the violins really anchoring this, and then the entire brass section with these very simple sequence of notes, but again, very fast-paced, it's lively. I think it's timed really well in terms of it, and like you said, this is from Staff of Kings, actually comprised of two game files as well that were put together, and you have this cool end at the with this kind of fade-out at the end. Really awesome.
Yeah, that string fade-out really is kind of a departure from the rest of the track, you know? It's fast-paced, upbeat, you know, very, very, you know, something. It's very action-packed, and then we just end with this, you know, regular old string fade-out, which kind of is a departure from the rest of the song, almost.
Yeah, very interesting there, and I personally think this is one of those tracks that I think really kind of describes how important music is in certain scenes, especially simple motifs like this. Very kind of interesting in terms of what kind of role that plays in this episode here.
Definitely. I really agree. It does play a big role. Even like these simple 30-second tracks or simple one-minute tracks that don't really, you know, they're just from a very small section, they really play a big role in this episode. This is Hobie to the Rescue.
Thank you. now we're going to move into one of the most action-packed scenes that is paired with basically a rendition of Desert Chase. This is Truck Fight and the Biplane Escape. We again have another two-track situation here, as we have music from LEGO Indiana Jones combined with music from the Special Delivery DVD game that has been edited into a format that fits accurately as to how it plays in the episode. And we start off here with this awesome low rhythm at the start, very kind of idea of this march theme. I like that little small motif in there that comes back. The violins increase with this crescendo as we get into the main trumpet theme, as Indy just basically gives all these guys a right hook and just jumps into the other truck. The suspense of it, the upbeat sound, I mean, it has that indie action feel that we're looking for. I mean, the music is a big part of, I think, what makes this scene nostalgic in terms of Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? I mean, Indy makes his dashing move, right? Loud and staccato. I mean, just an awesome first part here.
Yes, and, you know, it's almost like a Desert Chase, you know, because, you know, it's the same thing is almost happening, and even it sounds a bit like it, and I love how the brass in there really adds to the suspensefulness of this first part. You know, if the brass weren't in there, it would just be an action thing and not really suspenseful at all.
Yeah, definitely. I think the instrumentation here is interesting, especially when I think about this score and how it's different from coming off of Oganga, for example. I mean, we really haven't heard many parts from the woodwind section at all. It's basically been strings and brass, which I think is definitely something John Williams did in his action pieces as well. Not to say that, you know, he didn't use woodwinds or that that's bad in any way, but just usually that's the traditional style of even film scores in general, I guess you could say. So let's listen to the awesome first section of Truck Fight and the Biplane Escape.
Our second section here, we start off with a bit of a departure with a very fast violin theme and very fast brass, and then it's some really very high strings there with some cellos going down the scale, which really is a very awesome kind of motif thing that they did here.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that awesome shrilling violin theme, right? As Indy holds the guy at gunpoint and says, drive, drive, and you've got the violins with this great theme. And I think what is a piano holding the rhythm at the bottom there, kind of under that violin theme there. You have, again, that brass section, which has the exciting action-packed part that we're looking for, the gradual increase of the full orchestra sound, and kind of a classic sort of, when you think of, like, action themes, the rhythmic sort of aspects of this piece are very traditional in that sort of sense, but also kind of a bit of a different style than the first section here as well.
Yes, definitely. It is definitely a different style. You know, the first part was more suspenseful and more of like action-packed, and this is action-packed, but it's more, this is more focused on the strings than it is the brass. Like, the last one is more focused on the brass. This is more focused on the strings here, which, you know, is awesome, because just with the strings here, the brass actually takes the main theme, and without the brass in there, this would not be an action thing at all.
Yeah, I definitely think, like, the trumpets in there, I think, are definitely the anchor of this sort of piece, definitely for sure. I mean, without them, you're really looking at an entirely different track. So let's listen to the second section here from the Special Delivery DVD game of Truck Fight and the Biplane Escape. Thank you.
And that will transition us into our last section here, which is actually something that we've heard before, as you'd like to call it, the Charles theme. It's a rendition of the Charles theme with some upbeat percussion and some brass and strings. And actually, if you guys listen very closely, in part of this, there's actually a section of this smaller section here that actually sounds a tiny bit like The Old and the Bold from one of our previous soundtrack reviews.
Interesting. You're a music archaeologist, I guess you could say. yeah, definitely very similar style there. I'm going to nerd out for a second here and talk about how awesome the last section of this is. Especially when you listen to this at full volume, you can really pick out some of the great motifs and added instruments that McNeely threw in here. Start off with the loud percussion, which in my mind represents the villains, which is something John Williams always did, and I think is something that's represented here. As we talked about in our episode review, this scene is basically a mirror to the opening of Raiders, with Indy jumping on the plane, and kind of a similar idea here, as you have this trumpet theme that takes over, and the violin theme, like you said, very close to the rendition of the Charles theme, which is a photographic session. And you have this heavy blaring sound. When I think of a trumpet and an action theme, this is what I am looking for. And you have that here. Very staccato, very sharp. It's, you know, a very, very specific sort of sound that you're looking for here. And then you have these string arpeggios, oh, that just add to it as Indy runs across the field. And you have this whole sort of great combination of the brass section, the strings, this exciting, awesome tone as it builds, and you get to this kind of climactic ending as they fly off into the sky. I mean, this is a hard, complex orchestral score right here. I mean, just a masterpiece.
I mean, just to pull this off is so amazing, and this really shows that the people, even though it's not a full orchestra, the people in the orchestra that they were given are so dedicated to making this episode and just the music in general really immersive and really, you know, drawing the viewer in to the episode.
I definitely agree. Absolutely. I think you're totally right that, I mean, these, I think they recorded with, they recorded in Munich and Prague and Budapest, and I think in Australia. This may have been in Australia because this was one of the later episodes, but absolutely. I mean, you're talking about dedication from all of these musicians and just absolutely a great sound. I mean, you can feel the energy from this sort of track. So let's listen to the last section of this amazing, phenomenal piece here.
That we will be moving into our seventh track here, Dogfight with the Red Baron, which actually starts off here when Charles gets the challenge note from the Red Baron to a duel. And it's, you know, we start off with some piano chimes in the background, the bells, and kind of the Charles theme kind of signifying something is about to go down with Charles and the Red Baron.
Absolutely. This is from the Hunting for Treasure DVD game, and is one of my favorite tracks in the entire series. And I'm not actually joking about this. Well, not that I usually am joking, but I usually always always make a new statement about my favorite track every time we do these score reviews. But I am actually serious when I say that this track definitely has to be one of my favorite from the entire show. And I love just the action theme here that we're getting. You start off with this cool percussion instrument, this minor theme with the trumpet and violins and even the trombones in there, as you have this exciting opening track. This is Charles versus the Red Baron. This is the duel we've been looking for the whole episode. You've got the low cellos and strings and brass, this full orchestra style. This is basically Truck Fight and Biplane Escape Part 2. And actually, if you listen to the actual episode, the sound editors actually combined both of these tracks during some of the fight scenes, which actually is kind of cool. And speaking of, talk about great unreleased tracks. Kudos to the people at youngindianajonesmusic.com who found these tracks in the Special Delivery and Hunting for Treasure DVD games. This is literally a pristine quality track in its full version as it is played in the episode. So really, really awesome track here that I think is just super, super cool. And the opening here is not even the best part, in my opinion. It builds and builds and builds to an even greater climactic ending in this one.
Yeah, definitely. And as you said, this has got to be also one of my favorite pieces from the episode. It isn't my favorite piece, but it is one of my favorite pieces, which I know I've already said about like 10 of our tracks.
Right.
But, you know, it's really hard to choose about all of us. And just, you know, the fluttering strings and the building brass. So without further ado, here's the first section of Dogfight with the Red Baron.
Coming off of that amazing first section, we transition into the climax of this sort of piece here. As we start off with these amazing string arpeggios, a brass fanfare, which actually there is a little bit of like, I think there's an opposite scale. I think actually the trumpets go up and the trombones go down a little bit, if I remember correctly. There's kind of a cool musical thing that happens in there. And you have this gradual increase. We go from forte to piano. We have kind of a little bit of a Charles theme over there right as they pass over each other, and the gradual build to that top note on the scale there. Oh, the trill sounds cool in there, the sharp sound, the tension building. How do you get any better than this? This is the indie action and the music that you're looking for in this scene. So well done here.
Also, what's something that I find, you know, this is a happy tone, as the beginning of this was not so happy. This is more of like a happy and upbeat tone, mainly because Charles is there, and without Charles, this show would be kind of boring. Anyway,
right. I mean, whenever Charles shows up, you know you're having a good time. So that's basically, you know, kind of what the theme represents. Speaking of which, you mentioned something interesting there, how this doesn't start off happy, but it kind of gives you that exciting tone in the middle. And I think you bring up a good point, because the beginning of this is the introduction to the actual battle itself, which at that point in time, you know, of course, you have this very, I mean, Indy is scared out of his wits, right? I mean, he's going with Charles to take pictures, and you transition into, I think, this great, you know, sort of exciting theme that does represent Charles, because Indy does get a photo of the Red Baron and his kind of when he actually gets shot down. So you're right, that transition of style is just awesome.
Yeah, and, you know, here at the end of the section here, something happens where we have a dramatic tone change to some chimes, and, you know, we're like, wait, was this part of the song, or is this a different song? But no, it's just like a 5 or 10 second section that's just totally different than the tone of the rest of the song, which is kind of very interesting.
Yeah, I definitely like what you mentioned there as kind of like a weird kind of transitional sound, I guess you could say, that leads into our next part. So let's listen to the next section here of Dogfight with the Red Baron.
Thank you. And ending off this section here, we will start with our end section that start with these chimes and a low and some very low brass, kind of giving that fight tone that, you know, something is about to happen. You know, it's really giving a deep and a harsh tone, kind of saying, uh-oh, something is about to happen. Very grim.
Yeah, definitely. You start off with this. I love the deep sound of the violins and violas. I'm a huge fan of that sound because I think I've talked about this before, is we think of violins as and trumpets as having these main melodies. And I love when instruments are utilized in such a unique and different way that we normally don't hear. You've got the low G strings of the violins and violas here, starting off with like, uh-oh, what's going to happen? We got the suspense, and it leads into the climactic big theme for Charles Nungesser as kind of the idea of victory. And I think this track does represent that Charles is a hero, and his sort of kind of personality and characteristics, I think, are evident through the sounds of this piece, which I think is something that I think is interesting when we listen to this track. And the suspenseful ending of the shrill as well, dramatic sort of piece. And I also love that tuba that have those low bass notes at the end as well. Really cool ending to the track that is a great reiteration of the Charles theme that we've heard previously.
Yeah, I mean, that dramatic ending just really, you know, ends off the dogfight. That's because, you know, just with the Charles theme and the blaring trumpet and the dramatic ending really, you know, signifies, hey, I'm Charles, I won this round, you know, haha, I won. And that really is a great ending to Dogfight with the Red Baron.
Coming off of a great action piece, we're now going to move into one of the more unique pieces in the soundtrack, which is a rendition of the traditional piece, The Young Aviator Lay Dying. This track is courtesy of Young Indie Score. He kindly put this together and put it on his YouTube channel. So this is actually the scene that is what I like to call the montage scene, as Indy, of course, is marking his calendar. We see him, developing these photos, also fighting in planes, and you have this song that plays over it. So we're going to play just a small little sample of that full track here. Hilarious lyrics, by the way, and I love the gradual progression of this. You have this the vocalist here did a great job, I think, which leads into this, you know, group of guys singing, just having the time of their lives, as you could say. Just a great fun piece that I think was incorporated well in this episode.
Yeah, and actually, for those of you who don't know, this is not an original song that was composed by Joel McNeely, but rather a classic World War I drinking song. So actually, back in World War I, when all the guys were fighting and they had come home from you know, fighting out in the trenches or wherever they were, they would sit around the bar singing this song. And so, in a way, it's almost a classic folk song, which they included here, which I love, which they do in many different episodes. They include songs that they are not originally composed, but that they have hired a vocalist or, you know, a certain person to play, which I think is just super cool and super awesome.
Yeah, that's the beauty of this show. You have so many different cultures and styles and locations and places that these composers had the opportunity to do that. They were able to get different instruments and give us different subtle motifs. And then in, you know, the Ireland episode, for example, which I know is a favorite of ours, they use all those folk tunes. And then here, the traditional pieces. And then in Verdun, we have those Chopin and those like, the Moonlight Sonata, right, by Beethoven. Just those great pieces that are just so well used. Oh, and then the Bach stuff from last episode. How can you not forget that? The clarinet concerto and those, you know, amazing pieces. Just and this was a fun one too as well. So let's listen to a short sample here of The Young Aviator Lay Dying.
The young aviator lay dying, and as neath the wreckage he lay, to the mechanics around him these parting words he did say. Two bell strings you'll find in my stomach, three spark plugs are safe in my lung. The prop is in splinters inside me, to my fingers the joystick has clung.
my gosh, that has got to be one of my favorite tracks from this episode. And that will transition into our next song, which is from the Special Delivery DVD game, Out of Danger, which starts off with some strings, and then we start with brass and strings going up and down the scale, big trumpets, and then kind of a trombone, which, again, we don't see very often throughout this episode.
Yeah, very interesting. This, musically, is probably one of the more interesting tracks because I like to think of this track in three different sections. First, you have the dramatic sort of action theme. The second here is this one of the only times we hear an emotional song as Indy leaves the Lafayette Escadrille. And then finally, we end with good old Charles and his kind of rendition and that rendition of that theme. So we start off here with these heavy and sharp brass notes with this high violin theme. Symbolizes kind of the terror of planes as, you know, Indy and Hobie escape the plane right before it blows up. You have a short Red Baron motif, this abrupt start as well, and an interesting take on some of these more action themes that we've heard earlier. So kind of a cool start to this piece.
Definitely. It is a very cool piece. You know, this is the first 40 seconds of the track, and yet we already have so many things. You know, we have the terror of planes. We have the the Red Baron motif. It's just so awesome that they can, you know, they just squeeze every little drop out of these tracks that they possibly can to really, you know, just basically tell an entire story, you know, in a 90-minute episode. That's just so awesome that they can do that. The music is really, I think, what backs up the entire episode, hence why we're doing this soundtrack review and why we love these songs so much.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, that's a great point. I think they have just jam-packed so much music in here. And for those of you who are film score fans and like specifically a lot of the Star Wars and indie soundtracks, you might know that George Lucas loves what is known as wall-to-wall music. And you'll notice for most TV shows or movies or whatever, TV shows actually I'll use as a good example. Let's say you have a 40-minute TV show. Most likely you're going to have 25 minutes of music. And the composer writes that, and they throw it in, they edit some of the arrangements, and, you know, all is well. For George Lucas, you had, at least from what I've observed from watching these Young Indy episodes, at least an hour of music in all of these 90-minute features. I mean, unless there is heavy dialogue, there is rarely spaces in which George Lucas likes silence. And one thing that John Williams and many composers kind of take into consideration when they write film scores is the power of music lies within the absence of music. So George Lucas, I guess, doesn't really believe in that because he just loves wall-to-wall music. And oddly enough, that's actually what we got here, and which is really awesome because, I mean, how can you get better than this great score? But that's why, like you said, I mean, there's so much music just jam-packed in here. So let's listen to the first section here of Out of Danger.
Into our second section here, it's kind of a completely different tone, as you said. You know, this is very emotional here with the slow tone that the strings are taking and the brass in the background. And then a trumpet comes in kind of with a more emotional, happy tone. It's still, you know, it's still very emotional, but it's happy at the same time. It's not as terror as the previous section was, which I really love here. There's no action in this scene here. It's more of emotional, which I really, really love.
Yeah, I love the emotional approach of the second section here. You start off with this light and sad trumpet theme, which for those of you who have already seen the show before, actually kind of sounds like a little bit of a motif from the score to Hollywood Follies, which we will eventually get to. There's a small motif that kind of sounds like that in there, which I love. And this just, you know, that emotional idea of the memories that Indy has had, right? He survived the 2 weeks with the Lafayette Escadrille. And this is when he learns that America is in the war now, and that this squadron may be, now in the hands of the U.S. Army. And so there's this whole idea that, kind of this happy and sad, bittersweet ending here, as you have this, great sound, a completely different style than the first part. The woodwinds are finally having their moment to shine here. So let's listen to this next great contrasting section of Out of Danger.
Transition into our last section of Out of Danger, which is basically a flute rendition of the Charles theme, but slower than it was originally. We start off with that, and we have some big brass building, and then it's right back to the famous Charles theme that we hear.
Exactly. I mean, you have a great sort of theme here. This is such a fun part of the track here. It's a shame that it's not in its full original quality, because this is just marvelous in terms of the orchestral kind of instrumentation here. You start off with the flutes that have this awesome rendition of the Charles theme. Dramatic, as they have that shot of the picture with all of them that they took earlier. Then a gradual build of the trumpet, violin and woodwinds, and then you move to the percussion and tuba, and the flute comments on it as Indy and Charles get in the car. And then where the track gets its name, at least he's out of danger, we got the holly jolly theme of Charles driving off the road as he honks the horn, as some guy almost runs him over. And then you have the percussion and simple notes from the tuba giving you this very staccato march triumphant feel as they're driving off into Paris. And this piccolo at the end is kind of cool. And this actually is an alternate ending from how the track is actually used in the episode. Kind of interesting there as well, but really awesome rendition of the Charles theme as well that we've heard earlier.
Definitely. I mean, it's basically, that's so important, that the rendition that we heard earlier and the rendition that we have now. It's so important that it reoccurs many times throughout the episode, and just really what makes up this episode. So this is the last section of Out of Danger.
To our next track, we're going to be looking at Arrival in Hanover. Now as we transition into the second half of the episode, and this is actually from the Interactive Timeline, which is a source we haven't really discussed yet. On the DVD box sets, there is this timeline that actually describes all of the historical events in the show, and there's music that plays along to it on repeat that is comprised of three tracks, one from Paris 1916, Arrival in Hanover here, and one from Treasure the Peacock's Eye as well. And we start off with a completely different contrasting tone here. This was a 90-minute feature, but as we'll explore a little bit later, Joel McNeely took a completely different style for the second half, which I personally like a lot. And it starts off with this mysterious feel, this kind of cool bell and chime with this deep sound of the violins. The cellos have this entrance with this great progression, the subtle notes of the brass as well. And this is when Indy sees that guard in Hanover and shows him his papers and that kind of scene there as well. And this is not kind of a melodic theme that we were talking about earlier. This is a different approach of more of these ambient subtle tracks, but still sounds really awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it does sound really awesome, even though it's not like a big action-packed thing. It's still really important.
Absolutely. I think this music stands out definitely a lot. I mean, just really, really well done, even a simple track like this. So let's take a listen to Arrival in Hanover.
Transition into our next track, which is from the Lego Indiana Jones game, and really starts off completely departure from our last track, which starts with some very interesting strings and woodwinds. In this section we have much different instruments than we have. You know, we have an oboe here, a trombone, flute, and clarinets, which is really, really interesting, and we haven't really seen that from any of the other tracks throughout this episode.
Yeah, definitely. The first thing that comes to mind when I think of this track, which is, like you said, from the Lego Indiana Jones game, is the instrumentation here is really cool and so different from everything we have. The woodwinds finally get their chance to have the melody here, which is a very interesting one. You start off with this oboe with the violins, the trombone with this flute melody, and I love the string spiccato here, which gives it that sort of forefront and kind of anchor to the track, which is what you've heard basically throughout the whole thing. That main sort of beat is what the strings have there. And you have a very interesting instrument here, which may be a trumpet with a mute here, I think, which has that interesting sort of cool sound that I love. The violas and cellos have the rhythm here, while the violins comment on it. And oddly enough, there are actually thunderstorm sound effects from the game itself. Personally, I kind of see this as a blessing in disguise, because I think it's actually really cool and kind of awesome, actually, that it's funny that they have these thunderstorm sound effects, which add to the suspense and mystery of it. And not to mention, this is in a very interesting scene, not one that is like super popular, right? I mean, this is when Indy is in the locker room making the camera, right? And meanwhile, you listen to this track on its own, whoa, you've got this whole complex, mysterious, interesting, suspenseful track, which is really, really well done and sounds awesome.
Definitely, I agree. You know, though, you're right, those thunderstorm effects are a blessing in disguise. They go so well with this, and this scene is so underrated, and this music really brings out the light in that scene. So this is the Serving Schnapps, the Camera.
And now we're going to move into a similar track that has a very similar style, ran into some trouble from also Lego Indiana Jones. And this is a very similar track in the sense that we do have a scene in which Indy goes to Fokker's room. And keep in mind, they could have just not had music in this scene. It could have just been dialogue. But the fact that they used music in the scene, I think, goes to show how great this track is on its own. When you listen to it here, we've got this opening cello theme with the woodwinds, very suspenseful and mysterious, just like we were listening to in the last track previously here. That solo flute in there and the progression of the theme with the trumpet and percussion, just really, really awesome in terms of that different style that goes well with the last track as well.
Yes, and I also love how they included a piano and some bells in there. That really, you know, is interesting because we don't really hear the piano or bells in any of the tracks in any of the episodes, and here the bells are a lot more prevalent in this episode, which I really, really love because personally I love the bells instrument, and I think they really add a lot of depth to this track here.
Yeah, definitely. The array of percussion instruments, which we did kind of see a lot of in Oganga, also come through here a little bit. So let's listen to Ran Into Some Trouble.
That we will transition into our 13th track, The Pole Giant, which is from Lego Indiana Jones 2, so the second Lego Indiana Jones game. And this is when they are at Foreman's hangar, or his airbase, right? So, kind of signifying that, we start off with a low brass and some very, very high violins.
Yeah, this is a short section of the full track that plays in that scene, just only 30 seconds or so. We have some woodwinds, that minor sneaking sound. You can really envision Indy kind of sneaking around back there with that loud and end note that you have. I like the harp arpeggio that's thrown in there, and like you said, the subtle violins in there. Really kind of a cool, unique short section of that track. So let's listen to The Pole Giant.
Giant. I love the ending there where they have that kind of harp there, and that with that we will transition into our last track, which is the end credits, also known as Gary Owen, which you have actually heard the first part of this earlier in the episode, which is really awesome. You know, we start with the brass and a bit of a tambourine and the strings there.
Yeah, so this is the end credits for the episode, which is the Gary Owen end title, the traditional piece we heard earlier, like you mentioned. We start off with actually a higher quality version of Photographic Session, or the Charles theme, which we hear here, which is basically that exact same thing, which crossfades right into the classic Gary Owen, which I love so much. I'm so glad they included this in the end credits, because that was a great piece they used when they were driving in the car to Paris to get Charles. You've got the flute and percussion kind of march in the background, this fun and jolly theme, and then it ends with this violin and great deep orchestral score. I mean, how can you get better than Gary Owen? I sing along myself when I listen to this one. It's just such a fun one.
It is a great track. I mean, come on, Gary Owen is a classic folk tune. How can you not put it in there? You know, if you're gonna include Charles in an episode, you have got to include some classic folk tunes, and Gary Owen is no exception. Take a listen.
And what a better way to end the episode and our soundtrack review, overall thoughts on the score, and some of our favorite tracks from this episode.
Well, for me, Gary Owen has got to be a first, if not a close second, along with The Young Aviator Lay Dying, and of course the classic Charles theme, which of course, Photographic Session. Those are my three favorites out of all of them. I like the two folk tunes, and I, of course, love Charles and his theme. They're just so lively and upbeat, and just really kind of signifies that, you know, even though they're all in the grim war, you know, they all band together. They're family.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. I think my three favorites have to be Dogfight with the Red Baron, which is one of my favorite pieces in the whole show, Truck Fight in the Biplane Escape, and I'll agree with you there on Photographic Session, which may be tied with Gary Owen, too. Those might be the four that stand out to me. But again, I can't think of a track here that I don't like. I mean, especially Ran Into Some Trouble and Serving Schnapps in the Camera. Those are two very unique tracks that I think are kind of cool as well. I mean, just so many well-done tracks here. And when I look at scores and Joel McNeely, I mean, this is such an original and well-done score that I think goes really, really well with the style of this episode.
Definitely. I mean, come on. Without those, the style of the episode would be totally different.
Absolutely. I completely agree. I think this is just such a well-done score. And there's lots of music available, which is just absolutely amazing. So I think that about wraps up today's score review. Yet again, if you're new to the score review, definitely check out youngindianajonesmusic.com and Young Indie Score. He has the full playlist of all of the tracks that we talked about today. So thanks for joining us. And if this was your first time listening and you enjoyed our podcast, you can visit our website at www.theindianajonesuniverse.com. We've got lots of great content to explore there about the expanded universe of Indie. And also we have all our podcast episodes posted there for your listening convenience. And finally, to stay up to date on news and announcements and be part of the Indie community here, you can like us and follow us over on our Facebook page at the Indiana Jones Universe Podcast. So thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back soon with another episode.
Once again, I'm Max.
And I'm Will.
And until next time,
so long, Dr. Jones.